This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome in to this, the Action Line, on Monday, October the 24th. We're talking about education here in Murfreesboro this morning. Dr. Linda Gilbert, the director of the Murfreesboro City Schools, is with us, and you have brought Gretchen Campbell with you with the ESP program.
Absolutely.
Good morning, Bart.
Good morning. Good to have you with us.
Thanks.
Morning,
it's Bart. A great day out there.
Oh, it is beautiful. Going to get even better, too.
I know. Well, I don't know whether it can get any better, Bart.
Well, you're
it's
right.
It's pretty good right now.
But this is Murfreesboro.
You're right. The weather may not
the
get better,
city.
But by golly,
the
we will.
City. I tell you, great
That's
place.
Right.
And we realized what an even better place we have when we went through the Family Learning Center this past Thursday at the open house. What a great facility that is.
Absolutely. We are in debt to Patsy Nolan and the Murfreesboro Housing Authority. She is a wonderful woman. But as you know, we have been over there for several years now, but this facility is just remarkable. And to see children in there that are learning and what's going on there and knowing what happens with families during the day, it's just remarkable.
And we've talked about that facility on the radio so many times, but that was the first time I'd actually seen it, so I got to see what we were talking about.
Yeah, pretty cool.
It is. Two stories, and isn't that where the GED classes are
right.
also taught?
Yeah. GED is taught over there. We have a partnership with Rutherford County, and then we have a social worker over there, Andrea Bell, who is just phenomenal. Michael Davis from New Vision is stationed over there. So just really lots of good things happening for children and for families. Things going on during the day, computer room where the kids are learning, parents are learning. So just a terrific partnership.
And what a great opportunity for youngsters to advance their education. They come home from school and they can do their homework and have somebody to explain something to them if they need some help in certain areas.
Right. We have some of our teachers from Case and Lane who are over there, and then also have a lot of community partners. One of our great partners, of course, is Parks and Rec. And so while we have the tutoring going on in the Family Learning Center, we also have Project Go going on, which is a partnership with Parks and Rec. So we really have recreation and we have academics happening at the same time, and they are constantly in communication, plan with each other. So it's a great, great experience. And what's really cool about that is that Andrea has developed a system where if the students are there and they are learning and they're having fun learning, that's the good part, but they earn so many points and then they can do special things. And one of the things that just happened, one of the events, was that they got to go to Old Fort Golf Course and play with part of the golf team from MTSU. So that's really neat. So, again, the partnership with MTSU coming through there.
Some budding golfers out there.
Absolutely.
And what's great, too, is to see the community pride that whole area has. That area, you can go back 15, 20 years, and I can remember helping with cleanups in the area. And a day or two later, it would look pretty much like it used to. And there was just not any community pride, or it was not a lot of community pride. But that has totally changed now.
Right.
That whole community has taken on a new glow.
Right. It's interesting when you go back and you look at the history, and you're right, about 20 years ago is when Parks and Rec, Housing, Police really partnered together. Bill Jones was chief at that time, was followed by Glenn Chrisman, who carried on what was happening there. Dennis Rainier was followed by Lanny Goodwin. And so it's really been interesting to watch the growth of that community. And we cannot do anything without having that community safe. And of course, with what's happened over there, we do have the safety that enables us to go in and to really help empower the family. Just started a partnership this last year with the Tennessee Technology Center, and this summer, and I think we may have talked about this, but we're expanding that partnership. We had their health occupations, and that's not the right name for it, but they have a program over there, that Allied Health, that we were able to take our students over for a camp. We were also able to take our students over for a summer camp. So great things happening on that side of town, and Gretchen has been very involved with that. And then on the other side of town, over at Bradley, we have Dr. Kim Fowler, who is also here today, who can talk about her partnerships that are happening at Bradley. Kim went into Bradley in January and has done a remarkable job with that school. They have some events that are coming up in a few weeks. And so I've decided to bring both of the folks that kind of know the most about what's happening in the schools as far as events that the community can attend, and also to let the community know that we continue to look at the whole child. That while certainly we are focusing on academics and our scores prove that, we are also looking at those social emotional needs of the children, and just tremendous partnerships that are coming through. So I guess the word for the day is probably partnerships, Bart.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, and I think cutting edge too. People don't realize how the Murfreesboro City School Systems are on the cutting edge and have been. In fact, with Gretchen's area, Gretchen Campbell with ESP, I guess we were one of the first to have a program like that. That was back when Becky Buchner, I think,
right.
got it started.
That's right, yes.
And that was, what, 25, 30
oh, that
years
was,
ago?
Yes, that was quite a while ago. But we continue to work with that and continue to expand that program and to do some innovative things. You mentioned innovation. I know that ESP is certainly one of them. I've been told by Tanya Hobbs, who is our lead social worker, that what we're doing now as far as bringing together the needs of the whole child, that that's becoming a model for the state. And so really appreciate the folks that I have the opportunity to work with, and also, again, the support of the community, because we could not do what we do if it weren't for the support of the community there.
You know, Gretchen, I bet there may be some people who are new to the area and they have no clue what ESP is or what it has as its goal. Tell us a little about the program.
Okay, ESP is the Extended Schools Program, and it is a program that goes on after school. As soon as the kids get out of school, we have staff members who come in and get the kids, and they work with them on their homework. They have a snack. They do activities. We're building some enrichments into these programs and are getting a lot of things going right now with that program. It also goes during the school day or during the summer and during breaks when the kids are out of school.
Some real pluses with the ESP program, and even when it snows, you're there.
They are there.
Dr. Kim Fowler is also here today from Bradley Elementary. A lot of exciting things happening over at Bradley. Tell us about that.
Oh, the list is long. I think part of the most exciting thing for me is just having the opportunity to be the principal of Bradley and to work in Murfreesboro City Schools. I'm excited about a number of the partnerships we've been developing. A lot of the partnerships earlier last year, and then the previous years, a lot of the partnerships began to fall off. And our school is dependent upon those partnerships to be successful. And I attribute that to some of the achievement problems that we've had, that we haven't had the community support or the school reaching out to the community. We're very, very excited about our partnership with ESP, of course. They're there every day. The site director comes in at noon, so she has a chance to collaborate with the teachers so we can make a better connection between ESP programming and Bradley School programming. We also have a real strong partnership with the Patterson Center. And at Patterson, we use their stage. Us being an integrated arts school, we need a stage. And we need to be able to do our performances in an area that really can bring pride to the children and a comfortable place for their parents to sit. So we also work with them in an after-school program. One of my teachers every day goes over to their tutoring program at Patterson and provide support for them so that we can better connect with the community. We also have First Baptist Church on Castle Street is a very, very strong partnership with Bradley, and they sponsor our Good Citizens Luncheons and graduation and our celebrations of learning. They help provide information and support and meals for our kids. Also, we have just begun with some pencil partnerships. Blue Agave has adopted Bradley, which I think is a real neat connection because we have such a high percentage of students are Hispanic. So our partnerships are continuing to grow, and I think they're going to make a real strong impact. And the social workers and the guidance counselors, having a full-time guidance counselor is a gift to me after being 24 years in metro schools and not having that every day. And the social worker, half a week, 2.5 days a week, I don't know what we'd do without them because of the high needs that we have at our school, which is the basic needs that some of our kids need.
In addition to the basic education, as you mentioned, Bradley is the art school. And Dr. Gilbert, this is pretty unique, having schools with special areas of focus. Bradley is one of those. Tell us about some of the others.
Okay. Well, I want to spend a little bit of time with Bradley, and I want to go back. And Kim, at some point, I want you to talk about your partnership, too, with the Bradley Museum and Cultural Center, because I know that you all are performing there this next Saturday, I think, as a matter of fact. And also, I'd like for you to share your performance that you're doing of Captain Louie. But as far as the focuses of the school, there is a very basic belief that is fundamental, that every child deserves to be able to reach their potential. And so over the last year and a half, we really have shifted to a concept of professional learning communities. And I know that a lot of school districts now are using that model, and the model really started with the work of Dr. Bob Aker and his partners, the DeFores. But we really have begun the last year and a half to look at individual children and see what those needs are. So we started last year with just that foundation. Let's make sure that every child has a guaranteed and viable curriculum. So this meant that our teachers were trained with reading. This meant that we looked across the district and we said, here is what every child should learn by the end of third grade. Here are the critical, essential learnings that they need to have. We call those power standards. So we began with really a consistency across the district. Now this year we are looking also, we'll begin to look at our behavior, and we'll have that guaranteed kind of behavioral expectations of our adults and also of our children. But first we had to form that foundation. Now, since we have done that, we are looking at the individual needs of the schools. And so Bradley has an arts emphasis. You now have the music teachers there, who was the state teacher of the year, has a tremendous, Karen Blooding has a tremendous background in music. You have very strong art teacher, very strong drama teacher. We do have drama in that school. We have two music teachers in that school. So we do have a unique focus there. At Hobgood, we have a NASA Explorer school. They continue to have their emphasis on STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. And so you will see Chick Knitter there, who is a lead teacher in the sixth grade, just does a terrific job there. At that school, you have an additional teacher that is doing science labs. At Discovery School, which is our school for our high academic achievement, you're going to find unique opportunities there. In fact, they will be competing in Nashville with a robotics competition, so they have a robotics team there. We are beginning to look at Mitchell Nelson now and see what emphasis we have there. We are partnering very strongly with the university there, particularly with their health and wellness, and also with their STEM areas. So you'll see Mitchell Nelson start to focus there. So we do have unique focuses at our schools, but overall there is a consistency of philosophy, a consistency of approach to education, the high expectations that we have for our students, for our teachers, for our central office staff. It's critical for me that our central office staff members have a tremendous amount of knowledge and that they are working as hard as the folks that are working, as our people would say, in the trenches. So there has been, I think, an opening of communication, which is exactly what we said we wanted. You remember that we talked about our basic values are truth, trust, open communication, and focus first on children. So I think that, yes, we do have unique characteristics of our schools, which should be that way. But overall, there's this fundamental approach to education that deals with individual children and helping them succeed.
I think people can see why we are so fortunate to have a school program like we have here. And it is, to say it's on the cutting edge, it's miles ahead of so many others in the area and around the nation. Now, We understand, Dr. Fowler, that this next Saturday, the 29th, that the Bradley Academy Musical Theater and Band will be part of the activities at the annual Rutherford County African American Heritage Festival over at the Bradley Academy Museum. Tell us about that. Tell us about the focus of the Bradley Academy Band and the musical theater. That is exciting to hear about this.
It's exciting, and it's exciting to go, and I love watching the children perform. I know their parents do too. We have wonderful parent support at Bradley. Our parents come out. We have the full-time Hispanic outreach person, which is huge for us. But our parents will come. I'm expecting about 80% of our parents even to participate in the parent-teacher conferences. But with this heritage celebration, this is really exciting. Our students are going to be able to perform vocally. We are going to be able to, our little band's going to be playing. They're going to do a drum line that's reminiscent of Bradley, the old Bradley Academy.
Oh, I have heard about those, yeah.
With the drum lines, and our that's why our band is performing, so our little percussion group can mm-hmm. do that as an opening into the ceremony. And the other exciting part is we have an active participation where our students go over there to field trips. I mean, we can walk there. And so typically, well, since February, we've been taking field trips over there so that our kids can understand the history of their school and their neighborhood. So we're really excited about the opportunity to give back to our community by performing with them. Our school is also heavily involved in the in December with the bicentennial. Our kids are going to be performing there, and all of our parents will come and watch their children perform. And my staff is tremendously involved. I would dare say on Saturday, almost all of them will come because they're very invested in the school. So that is a really exciting part. The other thing that we have coming up is our drama and our musical, Captain Louie Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Never performed in this area before, so it'll come out. Tickets are $4 in advance and $5 at the door. But the exciting part about this, watching our kids perform their musical, you would never guess that Bradley was a on-the-list school. Our kids can achieve at the highest level of anybody else. Our kids really shine in the arts. Because we have such a diverse population, music, art, physical movement, dance, drama, all of those are universal. And so our students that may have some difficulty learning academic English, which seems to be our biggest hang up, they have the opportunity to perform, to become part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it really improves their reading fluency. Can you imagine in your second year of being in a new country that you're supposed to take a test that you read and then read for yourself, take a bunch of questions over, and you're in your second year in the country? That happens to Bradley a lot. It's the academic English that is difficult. So if we use our arts to infuse more vocabulary, it makes a huge difference. Our arts teachers, when they have free periods, are either in a classroom doing an arts lesson. For example, if you're doing landforms, my music teachers have come up with songs about landforms, and they do it with the classroom teacher. Our kids go to the same special area class 3 days in a row so that they can get a full unit of study, and usually related to the standards in the classroom in connection with their art standards that they cover. So all of that is all collaboration, much like Dr. Gilbert was talking about with the professional learning communities. Our little learning communities form these wonderful lessons to help our kids learn the vocabulary.
We've heard so much in the past about how arts encourages youngsters to do better, especially in the area of math and science, that it sort of stimulates the brain, or I'm not sure what it does, but you're seeing this firsthand, obviously.
Oh, yeah, and anybody can come and see us. We'd love to have you come and see the exciting program. But it's an area that's non-threatening to children. And so when they're given something just on a piece of paper, sometimes our kids have some difficulties because they're not familiar. They can't attach it to anything in their previous background. And so when they say something about landforms and a plateau, or they don't know what a plateau is. A lot of them haven't even gone over Mount Eagle, you know, Mount Eagle mountains, so they don't understand the differences. But if they go into our classrooms and we show them pictures on our projectors, we sing a song about it, we form maps in our class, all those different, that make connections to their minds, and those connections can improve their achievement.
Fantastic. I tell you, exciting things happening in our community. We're talking about them right now. We're going to pause for just a moment and check on the traffic and the weather, and we'll be back and continue the conversation about the Murfreesboro City Schools. Stay with us. Much more to come.
Place you'll hear good neighbor talk is WGNS Murfreesboro.
Hello, Rutherford County. You're listening to 1450 WGNS Murfreesboro.
Spread that news.
Was your car damaged by the recent hailstorm we had in Rutherford County? Windows busted out? Dents all over your car? Ford of Murfreesboro can properly repair your car to make it look like new again. Ford of Murfreesboro works with your insurance company so you don't have that hassle. Simply drop off your car, get it repaired, and then pick it up. It's that easy at Ford of Murfreesboro. Ford of Murfreesboro, at the intersection of Broad and Northfield. Hail damage repairs being done now at Ford of Murfreesboro.
Bell Jewelers, where quality, value, and honesty ring true.
We buy our diamonds direct from the cutters of Belgium, the diamond capital of the world. Diamonds are a symbol of your devotion, of your life together, of how far you've come.
Bell Jewelers, a cut above.
This is Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers, across the street from Toots in Murfreesboro. Visit us online at belljeweler.com.
Maybe you need a new mattress. Well, you can look all you want, but you won't find anyone even close to the prices of mattresses at Bell Furniture. And these are Jameson mattresses. Listen, Perry Bell has the Jameson Marriott mattress, the one used in the hotel. If you check around, the queen-size set is $12.99, but at Bell Furniture, just $7.99. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
This is Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station, FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Quality automotive repair and diagnostics with service you can trust. Nationwide guarantee. Call 896-1407. Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. We care, and we're here to help.
Guys, happy to report still accident-free out there along your secondaries. Now, on I-24, no accidents have been reported, but guys, we are in the heart of our rush hour. Things starting around Walden Road will slow down quite a bit, and they're going to stay below 70 miles per hour all the way in to the downtown area. But everything before you get to that seems to be flowing pretty well. If you need a personal injury attorney, call the law office of Henry S. Queener, located at 1230 17th Avenue in Nashville. Give them a call, 327-9999. With your Skywatch traffic, I'm John Boyce.
Thank you, John. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Plenty of sunshine, a high temperature near 73 degrees. We'll have a calm wind becoming west between 5 and 10. Clear skies for tonight, 46 for your low. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Thaluber. Right now, 45.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We offer checking that comes with a free check card, free mobile and internet banking, as well as free bill payer service. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Good Neighbor Talk focuses totally on the issues that impact the heart of Tennessee.
Oh, yeah?
This is your radio station, WGNS Murfreesboro.
Welcome back. And this is a segment where we open up the phone lines if you have any questions dealing with the Murfreesboro City Schools. Feel free to join us, 893-1450, 893-1450. Visiting with us this morning, Dr. Linda Gilbert, the director of the Murfreesboro City Schools, Gretchen Campbell, who is with the ESP program, and Dr. Kim Fowler, the principal at Bradley Elementary School. 893-1450. I understand there's a special partnership that's been formed between the schools and Lineball Library. Gretchen, tell us a little about that.
We have just started a program with Lineball. We've started talking to them back about a month ago, and we talked about putting together some programs for our staff development for ESP. And a couple weeks ago, they started doing a program with them about how to read to children. And so they came into the library, and Joan talked to us for a minute about library cards, and then we went into a really great discussion about how to read to kids and how to engage them in stories and how to walk them through the pictures and all kinds of really great things. It was a really good opportunity for them to hear it from somebody else, for one thing, but then hear it from the experts as well. One of the things we're hoping to do in the summer is to get the bookmobile to different sites. So that's another project that we're working on with Lineball, to be able to go out and the kids can check out some books for the summer and be a part of the summer reading program, even if that's something that we can do too. So lots of really cool things happening with Lineball Library, and it's been a great thing.
There's a real effort, it seems, to get youngsters involved in reading and enjoy reading at a young age. That's the secret, I guess.
It is, definitely. And it's been fun to hear that from our library experts.
Now, as you look at it's what's happening at Bradley Elementary, Dr. Fowler, I know that you're working on that too. It's probably more of a challenge in getting the youngsters involved in reading, especially since English is their second language, for many of them anyway. Is that making it more difficult, or do you encourage them to read in their native language? What and if they do that, looks like they're not moving forward probably. That's sort of a difficult thing, I would imagine.
Well, it is, but again, reading skills develop through practice. Mm-hmm. And it is important for our second language students to keep their original language and be literate in both languages. You can think of all the job opportunities that those students have if they develop both. So them, if they're at home reading in Spanish, that's a good thing, because it still builds those same synapses that allow information to go in the right ways. Our children every day have a blue folder. Every single child at Bradley has a blue folder. That blue folder typically has like read 10 minutes, write a couple of sentences about what you read. Having that opportunity to practice reading, it's going to get better. Even if the students are reading to someone or somebody's reading to them, it's just all about a few moments of literacy practice every day. But in that way, with those type of homework assignments, the folks at Patterson can help our students, and Patterson, through a partnership with Lineball, has a library at Patterson. And so our kids typically can have access to books through those great partnerships.
Mm-hmm. And what a great marriage of all between the Parks and Recreation Department and the city schools and the public library. I'm remembering the days back when Ms. Lord used to come around, and she was an amazing person, and that was the first person I heard about the drum line at Bradley Academy, where she said that they would march out to the flagpole, I guess, just mm-hmm. walk out to a drum beat, and so many adults called us and said they were there as students and how much it meant to them. And so now you're recreating this memory. Of course, Ms. Lord's classroom is there, and she said before she passed that it was pretty much the way it was. It's amazing how these things have been replicated, and history teaches the future, teaches people what's going on here.
And I think that's really important. I think that we need to understand what our heritage is. And I think that more and more we are realizing that you cannot face the future unless you realize what your past is. And so I think that we're seeing that. But at the same time, by understanding that past, you understand where you have to go in the future. One of the things that's really important for us is for our children to be able to see, while we may be a pre-K 6 system, we firmly believe that what happens to them in the future will be based on what we do today. And so one of the things that's important is for them to be able to see beyond high school. We have partnered with MTSU with a program called Club Marvel. And, of course, Greg Lyles is behind several of these programs that we're mentioning this morning, but certainly he's behind Club Marvel. But it really has to do with our children being able to look to the future. And so once a month, we have about 100 of our students who are going on to the MTSU campus. This past month, they visited the aerospace, the simulation room there as far as for air traffic controllers, and they also were able to go to the airport. Over the next few months, they will be going to areas that relate to math and astronomy and liberal arts and agribusiness and the environmental education. So, again, opportunities for those children, just as we did with the Tennessee Technology Center, partnership here with MTSU, so our children can see beyond high school, so they realize that there is a future there. So we're very excited about that. You mentioned reading, and one of the things you were talking about, cutting edge, and I think this will be truly cutting edge, but Carissa Brooks is one of our folks at Central Office now who headed up the Vanderbilt Reading Clinic. We'll be almost doing a replication of that at Mitchell Nelson. In fact, we just recently put the tile down in a couple of rooms behind that school. That will become a reading clinic where not only will our children, will it augment what's happening in the classroom with this, but it will also be a place where our teachers can learn, where prospective teachers can learn, come to from MTSU interns and really talk about how reading should be taught. So we're very excited about that and anxious to get that on board and up and rolling, and I think we'll see that happening over the next month. So very grateful for the talent that we have in Murfreesboro City Schools as far as teachers, as far as principals, administrators. And Bart, before I leave and turn it back over to you, let me just say how much I appreciate our principals. I think they are very much the unsung heroes in education today. There's a lot of discussion going on right now about education, and I think that we understand our teachers and the high expectations for them, but there are also tremendously high expectations for our principals. And I can't say enough for those principals who are true leaders, who are in those classrooms. Last year we had principals going into classrooms on a daily basis, spending their time there looking at teachers. And Kim can certainly address that with what's happening at Bradley because she is an instructional leader. And so many of our principals now are instructional leaders. Some of them have had to change their way of thinking from being the manager and just looking at money and looking at discipline issues to really looking at that classroom again. And so they have really been through quite a bit this last year as far as instruction. When you look at our principals' meetings, and we have them twice a month, they really focus on instruction, and it's about modeling and looking for and how can we get better? How can we get better as far as being leaders in our school? So I want to do a shout out, if you want to call it that, to our principals, the ones who really are working to improve instruction to help children. It's one thing to focus on teachers teaching. But last year, our principals began focusing on whether students were learning. And that's a shift because before we were asking our principals to look at the mechanics of teaching. Now we're asking them to look at whether students are truly learning. Linda Gilbert can stand in front of a classroom all day and teach, but that doesn't mean that the kids are learning. So it's a different look. And I don't know, Kim, whether you want to address that, but Bart, I did want to take the time since I do have this microphone to say how much I appreciate our principals. Obviously, I appreciate our teachers. That's what I am. But I also appreciate our principals and what they're doing.
Kim, tell us about, let's focus on that just a bit, what Dr. Gilbert just brought up. And that ties in directly with, I guess, the change in education that we're seeing across the entire United States. That has created some challenging times. I mean, that really has. The South has gotten some bad public relations in the past. I always thought we had a great education system here, and you compare us with those in other areas, and we would be at least in the same level and oftentimes ahead of them, particularly here in Murfreesboro. Yeah. But the PR image just wasn't the same. Is that getting more equal now? And what's tell us some of the challenges you're seeing in that area.
And let me, before I turn this over to Kim, because she's already looked at me about...
I got some strange looks.
Yeah, I know. Well, here's what that has to do with. So I'll take this one, Kim, and then turn it over to you. I think we need to be careful when we are talking about educational reform. I am all about educational reform. And if you look at what we've done in this school district, I would say this school district has changed as much as any school district I know. But I think that we have to be careful that and make sure that what we decide to do is what we need to be doing. And I'll go ahead and hit this, Kim, and then I don't part. We probably don't need to talk about this unless we want to talk about it another time. But I am all about change, but I want to be sure that the change that occurs is change that impacts students in a very positive way. What we saw last year is we absolutely asked our principals to change from looking at teachers to looking at children. We asked teachers to change from looking at themselves to looking at children. Now, does that mean that we don't want teachers to reflect? Absolutely, we want teachers to reflect. In fact, professional learning communities is all about teachers reflecting on their teaching and what impact it has on children. But I think we have to be careful with what now we have implemented in the state. Because I think for us, it has absolutely shifted the focus off the children and onto the teachers. And the teachers will tell you they need to have the focus on the children. It makes sense that a CEO with five companies would spend more time in working with those companies who are lower performing than he would in the companies who are higher performing. But we're not seeing that now. So that's pretty much all I want to say today about the evaluation system. But I do appreciate the stance of our school board. I do have every faith that our legislators and our commissioner will look at education in Tennessee and hopefully will decide that that we need to be looking at professional learning communities. We need to be allowing teachers to collaborate. We need to be allowing principals to be in those classrooms of those teachers who really need that help and to help them improve or help move them out. It is incumbent upon directors of schools. We have to step up to the plate, and we have to say to principals, principal, if you're not doing your job, then let me help you do your job. But your job primarily is to help those teachers to help children, because in education, it is about student learning. It is not necessarily about teachers teaching, and that's kind of my sermon for the day, and I apologize for, and I don't really want to talk about that anymore because I do support our state and I do support its children. But Kim, why don't you take it from here before I get
let me
more
say I really thank you for explaining that. That's the first time I've heard an explanation that made sense.
Well, I don't know how much sense I make, but I'll be happy to come back and talk to you another time about it because I feel pretty passionately about
it. Seems like the way we're doing so many other things, outside forces come along and they determine what direction we take, and they always forget to ask the people who are most involved, in this case the teachers who have that experience, Right. They forgot to ask you all.
Well, and I think that you will hear the argument that on the TEAC committee, which was the committee that decided about the evaluation, that there were teachers there. Mm-hmm. But I think that if you talk to the folks there, that perhaps the implementation of this is not exactly like they intended. And that's I'll be happy to come talk to you about that another day, but I want to give Kim the opportunity to talk about principals because I really value what has happened with them this last year.
Kim, tell us a little about the principals and being a principal and how it is with Bradley.
I think it's important that you take each child one at a time, go over their testing, go over their benchmark testing. Every month, our reading interventionists and school psychologists and the social worker and the guidance counselor meets with the grade level teachers. We talk about which child is progressing, which one isn't. Okay, what are we going to do differently because this is not working for this child? I kind of give you an example. Our reading intervention program at kindergarten starts with some letters that are typically very difficult for our kindergarten, because a lot of our kindergartners, probably I think we calculated this time, 64% of them couldn't recognize the letters in their names coming into kindergarten. Well, in our reading intervention program, by the program itself, it started with different letters, not the letters and the names. So a lot of children that come from backgrounds that are not quite as literate, they may expect the school to teach them their ABCs and expect them to see their learn their names and how to write their names. So we had kids coming into kindergarten didn't even know what a letter was, just not a clue. So instead of following the intervention regimen that's set up in our intervention program, our teachers got together and said, whoa, we got to look at this because this is not working. We were not making progress on our SPIRE, which is our reading intervention and our AIMS data. It was just flat as it could be. But what we decided to do is kind of relook at what we're doing for intervention, and the kids during intervention were working with the letters in their names, picking out those so that they would understand why there's a letter. Our children don't typically, sometimes they don't come in with that basic, you know, my child went to kindergarten, he knew all of his letters, he knew all of his numbers, he knew all that because I knew as a parent to work with them. Our parents just expect the kids to be taught at school. So, you know, it's just a different paradigm shift. But that's when you go back and you have to look skill by skill. What are we doing? Does it make sense? In our benchmark testing for our ThinkLink data, which is for our grades 1 to 6 that we use, our kids' language and vocabulary, writing and research, over and over and over again, those are the areas that we have the most difficulties. But we're doing great in reading fluently. Our kids read fluently. They can, you know, as they continue to work, they can, like, word call, but back again to that vocabulary. You know, they don't have people in their households that typically use three or four syllable words. They use very simple vocabulary, and a lot of our kids come in with maybe a 500-word vocabulary, and so they don't have that background. And so we're constantly having to work with that background, which it goes back to the focus of the arts. But it's going skill by skill, kid by kid, over and over, the exact same thing, talking about the data, because we're the ones that have to make sure that happens. And as a principal, it's my job to make sure that happens. I sit in those meetings. We look at the data. We talk about each individual kid that's making progress. Or those kids that are making extraordinary progress. And sometimes we get so wrapped up in the student learning of the kids to make sure they're making grade level. We've got plenty of very high achieving kids, and we need to look at those needs too. But as a principal, that is my role, to make sure those meetings happen, to talk with the teachers, give advice. But in the instructional process, it's my job to go in and look, use a standard evaluation, look and see where their strengths and weaknesses, and through kind of a collaboration, try to say, okay, what's your difficulty? Where are you having trouble? Where did that lesson not go as well? What areas of that lesson were great? But just having a lot of feedback. And I think with the new evaluation system, that's the part I miss. Having that free-for-all kind of conversation that's not part of the evaluation process, because sometimes people will shut down.
Today, by the way, we're talking about Murfreesboro City Schools and the great services that they are offering. We will continue in just a moment.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
People ask me, how does Perry Bell sell first quality name brand furniture about half price every day at Bell Furniture? He's learned that if you buy in trailer truckload quantities, you save money. And then instead of making the displays look like a decorator magazine, he puts it all in one big room. That saves money too. Plus, it's only Perry Bell and Linda Ferris there. The overhead is down.
Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Good Neighbor Talk covers issues you won't hear anywhere else. WGNS, Murfreesboro, FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
Family Staffing Solutions.
Family Staffing has been a fantastic experience for me. I don't know what I would have done without them.
Stay independent, at home, in charge.
They have given me hope when I didn't think there was any hope.
It's just the most involved kind of relationship, and when it works, it is so beautiful.
That's Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions. Personal care assistance at its best. Call 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
We're back again. About a minute left in our program. Dr. Linda Gilbert heads up the Murfreesboro City Schools, one of our guests this morning. Any final thoughts you'd like to share with us?
Just that we're very excited about where we're going in Murfreesboro City. Really appreciate the support of the community, the support of the City Council, the support of our board. I think that you're going to see the school district really continue to grow. Some of the things we're doing that we've been working on for about a year are now coming to fruition, expanding what we're already doing, and again, the community partnerships. Really want to thank the parents who are out there. Thank them for working with their children. I know that all of us are facing tough times right now, but we are so positive about what's happening with our school district in this city. And Bart, I want to thank you for your support, the support of the media. And come see us. Come visit our schools. Come talk with me. I'm at 893-2313. I'm not there a lot because I'm in the community and working on partnerships, or I'm in the schools because I really think that's where I need to be. But talk with me. Any concerns you have, we'd be happy to talk with you. If you email me and I don't get back to you, email me again, right, Kim? Because that's what. And again, a real thank you to the teachers, to the principals. Just, they have my utmost respect. And thank you, this community, for raising me and just giving me the opportunity to give back.
Dr. Linda Gilbert with us this morning, along with Gretchen Campbell and Dr. Kim Fowler. Thank you for joining us this morning on WGNS Murfreesboro.